creatures that can only hurt one another by accident. He says, then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, and barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. When the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
Welcome to Blue Justice Radio. I'm your host, David. And as always, Blue Justice brought to you by LESMA, Law Enforcement and Supporters for Media Accountability, on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so for today's show, I just want to go over a few things before we really get going. A couple of updates. Not a terrible amount in the way of updates, but there are a few updates in regards to what we discussed yesterday with Smashburger. First off, in dealing with Smashburger, there was a little bit of a change in what was discussed yesterday. Apparently, they were a little off in the location. The store involved, the wrong store was ID'd. You know, I put it out there also in the thread. But just to let you know, it's all good. I mean, either way you look at it, what had happened was the officer who is making this complaint, there were several officers there, the one that's really pushing making the complaint, through everything he was dealing with, remember they're coming from a funeral, there's a personal involvement in that, and you know, just it's a little off. Amanda, are you on? I got to grab this call.
Yes, I'm here. Okay. I'll just reiterate the Smashburger thing. And the officers had just left a funeral, and they weren't even thinking about. It's a very common mistake, a very easy mistake, and it happens. But they are currently working on it. They're working with us. Corporate is.
All right, I'm back.
David, are you back? That's quick.
Yeah, it would. It took too long for me to be able to jump it, and it's gone. I'll have to call it back later. I hope wasn't supposed to be my connection. Well, it's what it is. Hopefully it wasn't in regards to this, and it was missed. So you got to stand by for me today, because today's a big day. If it comes in, I'm going to grab it. Basically, the short and sweet of it, as you were saying, there was a mix-up in the location. It's not a big deal. Now, both locations, they're right near each other, and both locations are owned by the same franchise owner, and they are both Smashburgers. So, I mean, everything's fine. And, you know, I had reached out to the owner, not to the owner, I had reached back out to the corporation last night to notify them. As soon as I knew, and they had already picked up on that. As a matter of fact, they went back and verified through the owner. That location doesn't even have someone described as that, but there is an employee at the other location, and they went to the other location and found out that, in fact, the day in question, the time in question, that one individual was working and whatnot, and, you know, apparently they reached out to some managers at the other location and confirmed that some offices had showed up, and, you know, they're just doing their business on their end now. And it's all good. And they still want to work, you know, they still want to work to resolve it, you know, whether it be, you know, this guy's termination or some sort of discipline against him, whatever it may be, which will be decided, obviously, by them. And it'll be decided based upon review of security footage, which as of last night they were pulling to watch. So, you know, I'll be speaking to them later today at some point, getting together with the store owner and with staff from the corporation, board staff, and we'll be going over this on a teleconference and figuring out what's going on. I mean, basically, it's the same thing that it was when it involved, you know, the Rio, at least as far as they're handling it. They're getting their human resources involved. You know, they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's. They're in no way blowing it off, blowing smoke up anyone's ass, ignoring it, brushing it under the rug, whatever. It is being handled.
I think the phone call to you.
You what?
I think the phone call to you. I think that the phone call to you early yesterday morning speaks volumes as to how quickly and properly they do want to resolve this. I mean, the guy called you before you even had his coffee.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. I mean, how could anyone even think that it doesn't? I mean, they were phenomenal with that.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully. You know, it is what it is. They have to. Excuse me, I did not get much sleep last night. They have to do what, you know, you know, like any other corporation. You know, we have to do what we have to do in addressing this concern. And we're going to address this concern just because it's brought to our attention, you know, at face value, as, you know, we would with anything else. And if the case or the situation, any situation turns and goes negative, you know, we're going to try to resolve it the best way we can. You know, to allow the complainant, the officer, or whatever, you know, to save a little face here and step away from it. You know, that's what we do. You know, that's not the case here. But the corporation does the same. You know, their corporation's doing the same thing. You know, they want to save their face. They want to verify, in fact, that they're wrong, and they want to save their face. But they also have the added twist that we don't have under these circumstances, and that is that this is a franchise. So although there are certain things that they as a corporation govern, the owner of the franchise has a lot more leeway in how to handle things. So it is a little bit of a negotiation. Example, if the corporation really wants this guy fired and the store owner is like, fuck you, it's my nephew, you know, you're going to end up with a problem. Now, it will be resolved, but it's going to be a problem. You know, and they do what they got to do, like anybody else would. Solve it, they'll, you know, whatever, bury the hatchet, you know, with each other as far as whatever their complaint is, you know, or I shouldn't say the complaint, the sticking point. You know, why is it that he doesn't want this to happen? You know, and they'll move forward with it. We'll be notified, obviously, completely. You know, they made it clear in my telephone communications with them last night as well. You know, I did speak with them later on last night. They will, in fact, be notifying and communicating with us along the way. And as they said, it's not only to document what it is. It's not only to document what it is that's going on their end, but it's also to document their willingness to work with, you know, with our organization, their willingness to show the world, to show the community out there, the law enforcement community, that, hey, this is isolated incident. We're here for you. This is not our cooperation. Now, they do a lot of work, to be honest with you. They do a lot of work. That is very pro law enforcement. This is not typical. This action you see here, this statement, very, you know, this conduct by this one employee, not very common. You know, and in most cases it's not. You know, we've seen this before. The issue is, and the issue has been. You know, and Amanda, you and I spoke about this yesterday, or I should say we typed about this yesterday. We actually didn't speak about it. But, you know, the problem is and our stance on it, and trying to get the a lot of these, you know, stores and restaurants to understand as well. It is a form, and follow me here, but it is a form of
discrimination.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
there's a lot of talk, and here's the thing. Some people are like, oh, well, you know, what makes it discrimination? And it's, oh, well, you know, you have, like, for example, people saying, oh, well, it's racial discrimination if you don't pay me to pray. It's a current lawsuit going on now. Somebody was actually called me. We were talking about it earlier, where some American Arab organization, I don't know if it's chair or not, but I'm going to assume it is suing a company because the company said, listen, you fuckers can't pray seven times a day the entire time you are working at 30 minutes a time and get paid for a full day's work. You're only doing half a day's work. We're not paying you. It was the company Toro, who makes, like, snowblowers and stuff. And they're like, you know, it's a large Arab community. They employ a lot of Arabs, and it's like, you know, Muslims, I should say, not Arabs. They employ a lot of Muslims. And they say, you know what, you're working a seven-hour day, and you want to pray, again, seven times a day, 30 minutes a time, and you want to get paid for it. They said, no, we can't not hire you because you're Muslim, but nothing in there states we have to pay you to pray. It's not that you do it on break. And if you're not willing to play catch-up and do the rest of your praying at home, then we will allow you to work your seven pray times or whatever the hell it was for 30 minutes, whatever they were you know, complaining of. But you have to clock out every time you pray. You're not getting paid for it. We don't have to do that. You know, you'll get paid for your lunch. If you want to pray during your lunch and get paid to pray, that's fine, but then you're giving up your lunch. It is what it is. And there's now a debate with that over, is it or is it not? Because they're not violating your freedom of religion. They're letting you practice your religion. They're just not letting you use it to an extent that it abuses the company. They're saying, no, you can be Muslim. You can work here. You just can't work here being Muslim and expect to get paid while you're here for doing nothing. Because that's essentially what it is. You're praying. I'm not going to pay you to pray. So the same issue now becomes with cops. Or not even cops, anybody, really. If you walk into a store and, you know, somebody turns around and says, I'm not baking that cake for you because you're gay, we've already seen how it doesn't matter if it's against your religious beliefs. You can't discriminate them because of their sexual orientation. Okay. That being said, why is it that somebody can walk into a store and want dinner, breakfast, lunch? I'm not serving you because you're a cop. Now, you know, granted, you know, you don't choose your sexual preference. Granted, you don't choose your race, your nationality. You can choose your religion because you can change religions, but so there is, you know, it's not like it only affects things that you can't choose. You can choose your religion, right? And people convert from one religion to the other all the time, but there are allotted certain protections under discrimination laws based on religion. Why is it not for occupation? And I think it needs to be addressed. And now I know in the incident we had with Whataburger, their corporate policy actually did address that based on talks that we had with them. Now, the issue here you're dealing with a much larger company than Whataburger. You're dealing with a much stronger financially backed company than Whataburger was. They have a lot of issues that need to be addressed from, like, human resources and legal, as well as the corporate board. So the working at it and getting a resolution is going to take a little bit longer. Whataburger took 2-3 days or so to ultimately smooth it out and get it done, and it took about another week for it to actually be issued their new policy and issued out to all the stores and be implemented, which was great. You know, chances are this might take a little bit longer, but it's being worked on. And surely they jumped on it a lot faster than Whataburger did. Whataburger literally took about a good two, three days to, like, acknowledge it and then reach out to us. You know, so you're talking about a different, you know, there are different dynamics here. Even though they are pretty much kind of the same, the dynamics are different. Just have faith. Some people are getting, hey, what's going on? Hey, is this guy fired yet? You know, it takes time, right? The Rio took, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks to get to accomplish it. Also because the guy, you know, at the time did what he did and went on vacation, and they had to actually wait for him to come back from vacation, you know, to fire him. But, you know, they will do what they have to do. They will do it. They're not, you know, playing games here. They're not blowing smoke up anyone's ass. It'll get done. The next thing, other than it getting done and working with them to establish a change in policy, a corporate directive, you know, banning this bullshit, is to address the issue itself. Something I want to do, spoke to Amanda about, like I said, we text anyway. I kind of threw something out there, and she's like, ooh, I like that idea. Let's see what we can do on that. But it would be to work with and reach out to politicians, local politicians, obviously on a federal basis, and draft some sort of resolution. And having to get a lot of support from our members and a lot of support from other law enforcement groups to pressure it. And having going back to, you know, which I'll do, going back to Whataburger, speaking to their base again, their corporate base again, the upper echelons again, the board members, and reestablishing communications with them, as well as that with Smashburger in regards to what they're doing, kind of is like corporate world's doing it first, why is the government not type of angle to drop on these people and move forward with this type of legislature. Shouldn't really be too big of a deal because these laws are already in effect. It legitimately is just adding on, you know, it's a retype and a little bit of an amendment added to it. You know, it would be no different than if fucking aliens came out of space and said, we're going to start living here with you, you know, and they wanted to incorporate them. It's not a whole new law. It's an amendment. So, you know, it is what it is. The officers are protected, and that's the problem, is these officers are in uniform. You know, if an officer walks in and they're like, fuck you, I'm not serving you, you're black, or fuck you, I'm not serving you, you're white, or fuck you, I'm not serving you, you're gay, well, you have an issue there. And some might even argue that and say it doesn't matter if he's black, white, or gay, you're an officer, you're tougher skin, you're an agent of the government, and it, you know, whatever, you know, accept it. There is no need for any of that to ever happen. So discrimination is discrimination. There's no reason why, you know, an officer can be discriminated against or a firefighter, although you don't often hear of them, but there's no reason why they should be discriminated against and not be protected. You know, clearly the corporate world gets that. The corporate world gets that. I also think the reality is that the push is actually going to come from your local government institutions, because frequently with law enforcement, not even with fire departments, but I know firsthand with law enforcement, the government will abuse them. You know, I've seen it firsthand in the New York City Police Department. They don't give a fuck about your rights. They don't. They don't care. The government will use it against you. They steal your time. They steal your money. They steal your... It is what it is. That being said, you have to sue them for everything. You have to launch complaints through your union, which the VA is pretty much useless, as are most unions nowadays, which is why we're still working on trying to get ours up, but believe me, there's a lot that's involved in that. I'm quickly finding out a whole lot, but bear with us. The reality is with everything going on, they will screw you over. Make, you know, they violate the, you know, the Fair Labor Standard Act left and right. You know, they violate, you know, everything you can imagine. And a lot of it's got to do with greed, and a lot of it's, well, no, it's got to do with greed, let's face it. If they can force you to do shit and not pay for it, it leaves more money in the account to do something else. But it's really no different than large hospitals. You see large hospitals, and they have residents that are working there, and the residents are working, you know, shit, they're working 80, 90, 100 hours a week. You know, Federal Labor Standard Act clearly states you can't do that. Doesn't matter what your fucking job is, you can't do that. And they do it anyway. You know, and there's actually even in New York with the Port Authority Police, there's actually stipulations in their contract that if something occurs where they're mandated to do more than X amount of hours straight, they have to be put up in a hotel at the department's cost, free of charge to the officer, because it's considered and deemed too unsafe to go home, to be on the road in a 2, 3, 4,000-pound vehicle and falling asleep behind the wheel. Now, I can tell you, as far as residents go, medical residents in the United States and whatnot, frequently they are over that safe limit per day, and sometimes multiple days in a row, and they definitely go over the hours per week. And many of them, believe it or not, die in car accidents. When you look up the statistics, it's pretty crazy. And, of course, big factors are crossing dividers, running off the road, stuff like that, which is all results of falling asleep behind the wheel. It's actually pretty common with cops, too. How many police accidents have I seen, you know, police-involved accidents have I seen, off-duty cops recently, over the last couple of years in the tri-state area, that even cops getting on the road, getting onto the, you know, entering highways from exit lanes and going head-on into traffic and toxicology coming back clean. But these are all officers who, like, just finished, you know, working a 32-hour shift due to arrests and all that other stuff and doubles mandated overtime, federal mandated overtime, and everything else. That's where our biggest push in this will come from, because to discriminate against somebody based on this is now giving those people protections even from their own government, their own bosses, their own commissioners, their own mayors, their own clerks, their own city council, for making those things happen. I'm just going to throw this out there, but the reality is, it's bad enough a police officer doesn't go to work on a 9-to-5 basis and do a typical 9-to-5 job. But when you put him in a position where he's not treated with the same respects, rights, and considerations as the average citizen, he's already working a job that does not give him the opportunity to interact, for the most part, with your average, everyday citizen in a calm, cool, clean environment. You're putting them in a situation where the conditions are far worse and the stresses are far worse than that your average citizen, everyday citizen, is going to go through. Then you wonder why your police, for the most part, have a hard time interacting with your average, everyday citizen. Why is it so hard for officers to understand the concerns, the problems of the average, everyday citizen? Well, there's a big factor. That is your big factor. That's your big answer. You're not giving them the opportunity to live that life. You're not giving them that opportunity to have any of those rights and freedoms that you as a civilian have. Now, I'm not saying there aren't certain, you know, listen, obviously there's certain perks that come with the job, whether it be intentional or not intentional. But the reality is those are perks that are offered to us by us, from us, and to us. And you wonder why, many people wonder why, cops stand so strong and united to each other, and yet not to the average person. Now, of course, they stand stronger with the average person than they do the average criminal, but why is there such that, as they say, that blue wall? Why is it so much that us versus them mentality? That right there is a lot of what brings that on. You know, the cops have the same concerns as anyone else does, and a lot of it's stupid bullshit. You know, I know myself, you know, I've been penalized because, what, you only gave out 18 tickets this month? You know you're supposed to write 20. Or, oh, you gave out 23 tickets, but you didn't give out the right ones. You're not getting that day off you wanted. Oh, you want to go to your best friend's wedding? Well, you didn't have enough arrests, you know, this month or last month. You're in trouble. You're not going. You want that special transfer? You're not going to get it. Why? You know, you're doing too much overtime. I mean, it's that stupid. It's that fucking stupid, but it does create a hate. It does. As much as we don't like to think so, it's out there. So we'd really like to push this idea of, and of course get the help of everybody in the group and our affiliate groups to try to make this push. Hopefully Amanda will have some updates for us in a couple of weeks or maybe even a couple of months as to, you know, how it goes. She's definitely politically, that's her big thing. She's always been into, you know, politics and grassroots efforts and stuff like that. So hopefully, you know, she's going to spearhead this, and she'll be the big thing, and we'll see what happens. She's the big boss. You know,
with
we'll
that
have
said,
some. Oh, with that said. Okay.
With that said, we don't. Whenever we did the officer felony for shooting an officer thing or for killing an officer or federal offense, we had a lot of people jump ahead and do things. There's a way to do things, and I know how to get things done. I'm asking that nobody else makes an attempt to get this done. Let me do it. I know what I'm doing. Don't, because I'm actually going to try to get Lesma's name involved with it in the bill. So,
it's a good idea.
I don't want other people.
I agree with you completely, and it's like anything else we do. We'll tell you what you need when we need, because, again, we're here and we know what to do. You know, we have a board that meets. Amanda will not make a decision without speaking to me. I will not make a decision without speaking with Amanda. The board will be addressed. If it's issues where attorneys or accountants got to get addressed, guess what? There's a reason why they get a retainer. They'll be addressed. So just chill, and we'll tell you what we need, or she'll, in this case, tell us exactly what needs to be done. But I do think a bigger issue on that resolution that we would try to, you know, that resolution that was trying to get drafted, legislature was trying to get drafted. A big issue is a lot of the groups jumped on it too, and politicians, because it was a flavor. Apparently the fact that in the month of January, we lost 8 canines, 4 cops. God, I don't remember how many got shot though, but we had 4 die and 8 died. It wasn't enough bloodshed. They've forgotten that bill. It's not sitting on a desk. It's not waiting approval. It's gone. There is no outcry. You know, when cops were dying literally every other day for a period of time, here we go, we had it. Now all of a sudden everything kind of dies down. Now, I think there's a reason why everything kind of dies down. I'm not going to say necessarily exactly why. I'll give my opinion. I wonder if the recent die down of rhetoric from the BLM, again, Black Lives Matter, not Bureau of Land Management, and the anti-cop rhetoric dying down to an extent, not completely, in an organized manner, has more to do with the fact that somebody yesterday announced that they're going to run for office for the mayor's position in Chi-Town, and they may just happen to actually be, believe it or not, your number one fan, Amanda. And you know exactly who I'm talking about from the BLM. He has announced he is going to run for mayor.
Are we talking about D-Ray?
Yes, we are.
Oh, that's not my number one fan. He better not be my number one fan. I hate his guts.
Well, obviously there was sarcasm in me saying number one fan.
I know. So was
So I wonder if his high position, self-assumed high position, in the BLM, and his decision to do this, and knowing that the election is up, I believe, this November, and needing to start a launch, has to do with the dying down of that rhetoric only about 2 months ago, and now this being said. And this is not rumors. He had made the statement. He is going to run. Now, obviously, we've seen how every time this organization opens up their mouth at any level, they put their foot in it. They can't seem to get away from it. I've had that on the Lesma Twitter account with them. Out of nowhere, just start throwing stuff up, trying to bait stuff, and it's like epic fail. You know, you're wrong.
D-Ray, the problem with D-Ray is he is very well spoken. He was a nobody. Wow, I hope you can't hear that. He was a nobody before.
No, I was going to say, you know, let's not give him a soundbite of you speaking well of him, you know, for him to use.
No. What I'm saying is he's like he's very deceiving. He's very deceptive,
I know he's deceiving and manipulative, and he's an asshole. For them to have a soundbite of Amanda saying he's very well spoken to add to anything is certainly not something you'd want to hear your voice at. I don't think they'd use the part where I chime in and go, he's a complete fucking racist asshole. I think that would get edited out. So let's give him as little talk as possible. But the reality is that might have a lot to do with what's going on. You know, and again, just looking at it, I like to every now and then step out of the box and look at it from an outside observer's point of view and try to see how the pieces of the puzzle match together, because sometimes when you're too close, you just don't see the big picture. And I wonder if that's got something to do with it. That being said, we need to understand that any mission we try to accomplish against for the betterment of law enforcement is going to be met with resistance from multiple angles. You will have resistance, both organized and unorganized, from the BLM and supporters of. Your normal cop block, cop haters are going to give you your resistance. And your politicians when it comes to the pocketbook. I mean, I assure you, if we tried to pass a resolution that cops should do their job for free, and, you know, only reap the benefits of their retirement when it happens, you know, or whatever, you'd have every politician in the world, you know, backing you, going, yes, absolutely, you're 100% right, we support you and we should do this. And no crazy asshole's going to do that, but, you know, we're going to hit resistance. Just, we have to learn to live with it. But we have to learn to work smart. And that's what Amanda's talking about, so... Don't push ahead. Don't throw out shit. You know, let it work. When you have 8 different people working towards a goal, it works great when they all work together. But when you start leaking out or letting out what we're doing, what we're doing, what we're doing, what we're pushing, what we're pushing, what we're pushing, things start getting traction. Now all of a sudden, everyone and their mother is jumping on board. Everyone and their mother's jumping on board. Everyone and their mother's coming up with a different bill. Everyone and their mother's pushing it for to a different congressman. You know, congressmen are supporting their constituents because elections are coming up and all this other stuff's going on, and yet all it is fluff, all it is smoke, and nothing gets done on the backside. So let's keep it plain, let's keep it simple, let's keep it, you know, let's keep it precise, and let's get it done, okay? You know, it is what it is. If we stay focused, you know, we can make shit happen. You know, it's no different than light through a magnifying glass. You know, it gets nice, it gets focused, it gets concentrated, you get a spark, you got a fire, it's a beautiful thing. Other than that, it's just sunlight. That's plain and simple. So we really want to stay focused on this. We really want to make this work. There's really no reason why it shouldn't and why these guys can't, you know, at least get the common decency to know that they have the rights to be able to go into places and not be discriminated against. And it's no different than uniformed officer going into his college class because he was on overtime and didn't have time to go home and change, and is being escorted out by campus police because some libtard instructor, who, by the way, turns out is a huge supporter of the BLM and has participated in many anti-police demonstrations, claims she misunderstood school policy. What school policy did you misunderstand? No weapons on campus when your own police are armed, and you think the individual in your classroom who shows up in uniform with a gun on his hip is a threat to you? Really? To me, I think you're discriminating against him because you have the opportunity to. You don't like fucking cops. You don't like what they do. You don't like what they stand for. And here's your chance to piss on a cop with whatever assumed power you think you have. You know, there's an old saying that says, those who can, do. And those who can't, teach. And that's exactly what you have here. This woman doesn't have balls to do anything, and she's retiring herself to a classroom because she's afraid of what's out there in the real world. And she proved it when that officer came into her room, and she did that. Okay? But again, if she had done that to somebody because they were gay, or they were, you know, slow, they were special, they were white, black, Asian, male, female, tall, short, fat, anorexic, there'd be a discrimination issue. But because it was an officer, not a discrimination issue. So we have an issue there. This needs to be addressed. So we would just really appreciate everybody. Work with us, and let's get this done. Yeah, so that's what I got there. That's it. I wish I would have had more for you as an update, but in regards to Smashburger, but I don't. Like I said, I did want to clear up the confusion, and believe me, the confusion is understandable. They understood it. We understood it. It was an emotional time, and it was an oversight. It doesn't make a difference. It's no different than saying I got robbed, and you know, on the fourth car of the train, and the reality is it was the seventh. It makes no fucking difference. You got robbed. You were wrong on where it happened. You were right as far as what happened. There's proof that it happened. It happened on the same train. It happened at the same station. You were just three cars back further than you thought you were. It makes no fucking difference. Okay? There's a couple of people I'm seeing in other posts that are putting it out. This all came off of an NYPD group. Facebook group, NYPD only Facebook group, where it originated from. And, you know, there's a couple of knuckleheads that are like, oh, it must not have happened at all. No. And clearly that person who says that is retarded. That is not the case. Okay? As a cop alone, you should know that. How many times victims or anyone who goes through even an accident, they don't even realize where they are, They're telling you they're at this corner and that corner when you're standing there looking at the signs and knowing it's not, but they're going through an emotional time. They get torn up. It happens. I know if I was going to a funeral, family member, loved one, I'd be concerned and I'd be upset and still dealing with it, and it's fresh. And, you know, in the time that this incident happened and contact first being made with the corporation, you're also dealing with the fact that the incident happened to begin with. You're dealing with the wake you were just coming from, and you had to now bury that person. It's a little bit of a fucked up situation. Accidents happen. It's not a big deal. It's not like he said he was in White Castles when he was in Smashburger, and he said he was in Brooklyn when he was in California, and he said it happened during the day when it happened at night, and he said the guy was black when the guy was Chinese, and he said that the guy was a guy when it was really a woman. I mean, you know, then you'd be like, wait a second, this was just one little thing, so keep that in mind. So that's great. I do hear, just thrown out there, I know our buddy Dave is because of a message I noticed just before we went on, is working on what we mentioned about setting up a memorial Facebook type of thing, a Lesma thing. So that's being worked on to let you guys know.
He's on the line too, so he might want to.
He's on the line.
He might want to
talk
about
Dave.
It. Yeah.
You want to talk about it, Dave, or we'll just wait until it's up?
Well, I've been doing my homework on it because I just don't want to post something that looks sloppy. It's gotta be spot on. But I should have it running, up and running within the next day, 2 days tops. I've been in touch with Karen Smith and her friends that also deal with canine issues. So with talking with them, I'm getting a lot of intel that I need, and I think it'll be spot on, something for Lesma to be proud of.
Oh, that's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Well, you know, listen, I know just the idea that we're doing this brings me a lot of pride. You know, like I said, there's just not enough acknowledgement. There's not nearly enough acknowledgement for these guys. You know, the real unsung heroes. I mean, they don't get a pension. They obviously don't get paid. You know, and they're cute as hell. And they work hard. And they what rights do they get, right?
Well, what I'm also going to try and do in addition to this, try and get something similar at least passed in Oklahoma. If I can't get it done. That bill to have it federally, but Pennsylvania enacted a law that at the time, the governor at the time, Covert, signed into law that if you harmed the police, you were charged with a second-degree felony, which carried a sentence of 10 years plus hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines on top of it. Rocco's Law was instituted about 2.5 months ago with the loss of Rocco, a police service dog with the City of Pittsburgh Police Department that was stabbed to death. The perp in that case ended up getting a sentence of 17 to 26 years for the murder of the dog and the assault on the police officer.
That's just terrific.
And I'm hoping, you know, with a little bit of help with a very close friend of mine who's state rep back in Pennsylvania, we might be able to get another law introduced. I'm hoping to take it federally so that all these dogs across the nation are covered, not just state to state.
That would be great. I know, you know, I'm going to be honest. I don't even know if it's... trying to think. I want to say, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to guess. I was going to try to predict, or I should say guess, how long ago it took place, but I can't. I mean, I know it was within my career that it passed, but I know in New York State we have laws governing the assault of not only police animals. So it's dogs, but it's even our horses. But it also includes service animals. But if you assault a police dog or a mounted unit, you know, the horse, you'll be charged as assaulting an officer. Same if you, you know, it's similar anyway. It's a felony assault. They're both felony assaults, but there's an actual charge for assaulting an officer, and then there's a felony assault. So you'll be charged for that with assaulting an officer. But if you assaulted a service dog, you would be charged with, you know, the standard felony assault. And I'm trying to think about how long ago that went into effect. But it would really just purely be a guess. I mean, at the minimum, it was 5 years ago. But I think it was a lot more than that, to be honest with you. So, I mean, there are certain states out there that do it, but I know there's certain other states that they don't.
Right.
But I think
a lot of states that...
You know, listen, I think the issue, myself, and this is where I love what you just said, Dave. The issue is, and I might be wrong, but the issue is changing the public perception, you know, based on the fact that reporters can just address it as in, well, what about the guy? You know, this was just a fucking dog. Just blows my mind. And I think that's really where the issue, you know, where the issue is. You know, that's where we have to make the stand.
Well, I do have some positive news. WPXI, the news media back home that aired the assault on the dog, but, you know, subsequently when they attached the link to the video, they were giving airtime to the perp's family trying to get their 15 seconds of fame and trying to make him out to be a victim. Well, they have now since stopped giving them airtime. They have turned their back on them now. They no longer are supporting it, I should say. I think it's due to the fact that Amanda made a nice, you know, comment to them. So did I and some other people that I know. But I do believe at some point here with Lesma getting some exposure in Pittsburgh. I know the name is out there back there because I have some friends that are members. I think we were instrumental in changing their attitude as to what they were airing. So they haven't aired anything negative about it. In fact, they've gone publicly with Following the Service today. It was actually good coverage, and they promoted the fact that, you know, we have to think about our four-legged officers. So they've kind of changed their stance and their approach as to the way they handled it in the beginning.
Well, that is fantastic, obviously. You know, I really, I don't know where else to go with it but that. I mean, it is just any time you see a change from the media, and we all know the media for the most part, you know, they're obviously there for themselves and themselves only. So to see that sort of, you know, that sort of change is, well, it's certainly encouraging. It's certainly encouraging. You know, we just got to hope it continues and keep the pressure on. You know, the reality is I think if you look back, you would have never seen even the slightest blurb from the media to the degree that it was in this case. You know, if you went 5 years ago, you know, go even further and say 10 years ago, you definitely wouldn't have seen it. Media was pro-cop or more so pro-cop, and now, you know, again, it's just the current environment because the reality is they're driven by their revenue-generating, you know, advertising. If people are watching because they like to see the news and they like to see the cops getting beat up, they like to see the perp side, communities or society has become anti-cop, that's what they're going to highlight. You have a change in it where community is now pro-cop, and that's when you'll see, again, another change, and they'll become, you know, more pro-cop. I do think with depending on the outcome of the presidential election, you will see a slow shift and an ultimate change in media's perception, because that kind of gears where your country's going. And I think that's very relevant now, because we saw it when we went from Bush to, well, this person. You know, I don't even like to say his name.
Right.
You know.
Well, if you remember back when, you know, this country was very pro-police during the Reagan administration, because he was nothing but pro-cop. I mean, cops could do no evil in his eyes, no matter what. And he promoted that, and which was a good thing, because we're not the evildoers. We're the ones that stand on the right side. You know, we're the good guys. We're the white hats. We're not the black hats.
I agree with you completely, obviously. You know, and it is what it is. And, you know, the one thing I like to tell people, too, and again, it's just me, but a lot of people don't understand. Now, there are times that, you know, I see, you know, there are times cops, yes, are wrong. You get bad apples, you get everything. Nobody could turn around and tell you that's not the case. I mean, for Christ's sake, you know, I worked in a precinct where a cop had taken off his bulletproof vest, left it on a table inside the break room, walked out of the break room to go to his locker, to grab his lunch out of his locker, went back to the break room, the room was still empty, and yet the vest was gone. Never returned. So what does that tell you? Obviously, someone in that precinct took it. You know, it is what it is. So you do get bad apples. Does that happen in every precinct? Does it happen every day, every week, every month, every year? No, but it does happen. So, yes, you got bad apples. Everyone has bad apples. It is what it is. But that being said, overall, you don't have those issues. That's not what goes on. And overall, when you see things that don't look right and they look rough or they look aggressive or they look hard or they look this, we know what we're doing, and we're doing our job for a reason. And, you know, we're just in an environment now where if people see video and they're like, you know, especially without audio, and they're like, oh, but the cops were wrong. I know they were wrong because look at it. You know, and, you know, that's not always the case. Yeah, you see the guy shove the guy, you know, you see the cop shove the guy down to the floor or whatever. And there is one video that Amanda was showing me, and should we run with it? And I told her, I said, it looks really bad, and he's going to have a hard time. You know,
yeah, I know
giving
what
audio and the guy. You what?
I know which one you're referring to.
Right. And you know what? It looks really friggin' bad. It does.
It is.
And
see,
the
guy, you know, that officer. He's a 20-year veteran, too.
Yeah, and the FBI is going after him because of a DOJ self-initiated investigation. Now, the judge threw out the charges. The judges are, you know, depending where you are, if you're in an okay area, the judges understand you're doing what you got to do and it makes sense. The guy's making a stance. The guy's making a threat. The guy's acting fidgety. You're getting nervous. Rather than wait for something to escalate and him having to get shot or even tasered, you just blast them right down to the ground. You take them down with brute force, instantaneous hard hit to the chest. He's down, and now you control the situation. Does it suck to be you? Yeah. The fact that security surrounded this officer and did nothing at that point in time to help, does that make it look worse? Yeah. Does that mean it really was bad and wrong? No. Is this guy now probably going to fry for it?
More likely.
Yeah, DOJ is going to have a field day on this. You know, unless there's another angle no one has yet seen, yeah, he's fucked.
I mean, I had talked to Amanda about this situation yesterday, and I told her, I says, if the judge had turned around, if he'd actually gone to trial and was found not guilty, the DOJ wouldn't have been able to touch him.
Right.
He would already been found not guilty. You can't try a man twice for the same crime. Okay, we all know that. And if you try it, double jeopardy and, you know, ensues and all this other crap. But you can't do it. That the judge turned around and just dropped the charges, gave the DOJ and the FBI the ability to walk in and take the reins.
Absolutely. And that's like every other case. Listen, Department of Justice, you're absolutely right, because every case they have, they go after them after there is a determination by the court. It doesn't matter how bad the shooting is. They don't do the DOJ investigation and then the criminal charge. This guy, you're right, this guy's fucked.
I mean, once the FBI, once the DOJ gets their claws into you, even if you, by some miraculous miracle, walk away from it, your career in law enforcement is done. Nobody will touch you.
Oh, absolutely. It's very hard, well, there's two factors. It's very hard. I know, you know, our buddy, and we haven't spoken about him in a while. You know, he's in the group. You know, Ben Fields, he was the SRO down in South Carolina. He's facing a DOJ investigation. Now, there was another DOJ investigation against him and several other officers from the department. It was not specific to him, but it was several other officers. And they beat it. They beat it. You know, it is what it is, because a lot of them are trumped up. But once they get a DOJ investigation, gets the publicity that his got, or this guy's going to get, you're absolutely right. You can't go.
Yeah, he's already got it.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing now, too. Ben Fields is a young guy. He was actually really liked by the kids in the school. You saw that when the school actually walked out to support him. You know, he very well could get another job. But you're right. What do you do with a guy who's an 18, 19, 20-year veteran of a job, of a police force, and he goes through this? Now it's cleared. It takes 2-3 years for you to clear it. You've been on suspension or modification for 2-3 years while they look into it. Because of that, you've been stripped of overtime. Your pension numbers are now hurt. You got 22, 23 years on the job now.
Right.
Your job is going to fire you once this is over, one way or the other, just for the, you know, the great old catch-all of conduct unbecoming an officer that every single jurisdiction has. I mean, they may put it under a slightly different name, but they all have it. What's he going to do? And
yeah,
he's got no
much.
Recourse. He can't sue the federal government.
He's on administrative, well, not administrative leave. Actually, he's actually working still, but he's part of the rubber gun squad right now.
Right, exactly. And therefore, he won't be getting overtime, or if he does, it'll be seriously reduced. You know, it's a lot of, it sucks. It really does, and it will really hurt this guy's ability to work in the future, in this career that he's given so much time to, and it's all for what? I mean, really, what was it all? What are you even looking at? Because you're entertaining people? Is that what this is about?
It's a dog and pony show is what it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, I really do think in this case it probably is, because let's face it, the reality is Department of the Department of Justice has nothing. They're not going to get anything in Ben Fields. They know it. They're not. They realized that once they saw the walkout. They're not going to get anything, and they didn't get anything in Ferguson. They won't release any of the work on the police department itself that they're still allegedly investigating in regards to use of canines. They can't even go forward with it or even clear that up because there'll be an outcry.
I do, that if the Department of Justice can't, you know, they're always being brought in and the public is saying, oh, the Department of Justice is here, okay, and they keep failing at their mission because they can't make anything stick. They're still looking for that sacrificial lamb. They need at least
one
win to their four losses to save face. And they will do they have to.
And here's the problem. It's even listen, Dave, I mean, I might be wrong, and tell me if you think I am. You know, you have a lot of experience, and you're older, you're well-learned than I. But I think it only makes it worse that they only have 11 months to do it because they want to deliver a win for Department of Justice underneath this presidency because this presidency has done nothing but tout how he is the man that will make the change. He is the man that will bring justice. He is the man that will bring peace. He is, granted, he's ruined any relationship you could imagine law enforcement in the community, black and white, however you look at it, he's made it worse. But I honestly think that this guy, this idiot, our president, they want to deliver it under him. And they know their time is numbered. And this guy, shit, he may very well be that sacrificial lamb.
Oh, he's absolutely going to be, because they're going to use, doesn't matter, I mean, I've watched the footage numerous times from every possible angle that they've made available, and I'll tell you what, I don't care how, without audio and everything else to help maybe, it's really damning, it really is.
Oh, absolutely, and again, what makes it worse is the fact that the security guards did nothing. You know, and the reality is the security guards can now come forward and go, oh, no, 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 the cop was right. He had it under control. That's why we stood there. The reality is the Justice Department's going to say, if that was truly the case, you would have interacted, you would have done something, but you stood out of it. Isn't it correct you stood out of it because you thought he was wrong? And you can argue what you want, but you know what? You're not going to win. All they got to do is, in their case, you know, sway the public opinion. That's it, and they win. They haven't been able to do it yet, and this may hopefully, you know, in their minds, may hopefully be the one. And I hope to God they're wrong, but I just don't see it.
Well, there, you know, his defense is, you know, the fact that he wasn't working in the capacity or under, so to speak, the city of Pitt, you know, the city's realm. He was actively employed as private security at the time, because they hire them off duty. But, you know, on the flip side of that coin, you know, they can, the DOJ can sit there and tell you, and just like you and I well know, that as a police officer is a police officer 24/7. Just because you hang up your gun at the end of your shift and you take your badge and uniform off, that you stop being a cop. If you see something going down, you and I both know that if we did not act on it, when we saw a felony crime or anything else going down right in front of us, and we were spotted there and we did nothing, we're going to be held accountable. Why didn't you act? You are a police officer.
Absolutely. And everywhere in this great country of ours, it is in every single jurisdiction, you are a cop 100% of the time. You are always on duty. That's exactly why the federal government, the other defense, is the H.R. 218 bill. Why is there an H.R. 218 bill? Why is it made so retired and active, you know, can carry around this country, you know, free of any, you know, state or local jurisdictional rules? Because you're always on duty. You are always on duty. And I'll be honest with you, I'm waiting for them to go after a retiree on those grounds. I know they haven't done it yet, but I can sure as hell see them trying, especially underneath this presidency and with their lack of wins. I can see them turning around and going, well, yeah, you're retired, but you violated their civil rights when they tried to fucking rob you. And you're a cop. You're always on duty. That's why you have H.R. 218. Because you're always on duty. Even when you're retired, you're always going to be a cop. So therefore, you violated their rights.
Absolutely.
I might be wrong, and it might be a stretch, but you know what? They're sure as hell running out of other options.
Well, you know what? You're not too far off base, because think about it. I mean, look at all the bullshit they've handed down the pike so far. I mean, for them to reach out and get a retiree that way, it wouldn't surprise me in the least, because they're going to sit there and say, hey, you were a trained police officer. You did the job for 20, 30 years. You know better. Why didn't you act? Why didn't you do this, or why did you do this when you knew that you shouldn't?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it that's what it boils down to. The reality is they are going to push. And that's what this is all going to become. It is just going to be a simple push to get, you know, a conviction. I mean, I've never seen... You know, I've never seen in my life, as far as I can remember, a more inadequate Department of Justice. Or I should say a more inadequate administration. I mean, you got it coming out now that John Kerry himself was also using a private email in regards to top secret information. I mean, you know, what the fuck? I mean, this whole administration is nothing but a bunch of fucking, I don't know. They're just immature, classless clowns, the whole group of them.
Well, that's just, you don't have the average working man doing the politics, you know, where they have their buddy right next to them that they're thinking about and not just thinking about themselves. You know, you've got they're career politicians. They're having their campaigns paid for by big corps and whatnot, and they're beholden to them. So pass this law, pass that law, because this is what the corporation that funds me wants to do. If you get the average Joe Blow in there that funds his own campaign, you're not beholden to anybody, so you can sit there and say, hey, wait a minute, back the fuck up. This is wrong. Nobody has any balls in government because everybody's bought and paid for.
No, you're right there. You're absolutely right there. And it is a shame. Oh, boy, is it a shame. And we're the ones who are going to get the shaft. That's the biggest problem. We are really going to get the shaft on this one, as we will, you know, as we always do. You know, there is nothing good that can come out of this. And, you know, when you hear things, I saw a report the other day. I don't remember what news station it was, and this was a legitimate thing. You know, they asked us straight out. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't a report. It was during a campaign stop. Somebody had asked Clinton because they, of course, felt that Obama was so awesome and that he, you know, apparently shits whipped cream or something. I mean, they really thought he was like the fucking topping on the cake. They had asked Hillary when, they said to her, when you win your election, are you willing, hold on. I have a very loud puppy, so I do apologize for that. Doorbell rang for a package, and little pup went a little nuts. They had asked her, is it possible, or when you win your election, would you consider making Barack Obama a Supreme Court judge? They asked that to Hillary. And she's like, oh, absolutely. I think he's got more important things or more pressing issues he'd want to take up after just finishing his presidency. But she says, I absolutely would. And I actually threw up in my mouth a little bit when I heard that.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, she'll never see the inside of the office, not unless, you know, everybody else gets paid off to let her do it, you know, and they rig the election. I mean, if the common everyday working stiff actually looks at all these candidates, which, you know, a lot of them really don't impress me at all. I mean, I do have one that's slightly impressive, but am I overwhelmed by any particular one? No, not really. When it comes to politics,
no, absolutely.
You know, when it comes to politics, right now you're just exchanging criminals. One a better criminal for a less better criminal.
Oh, boy, how sad it is. You're absolutely right. Dave, you are 100% right. You know, and I was telling Amanda, too. I mean, the reality is I will take anyone. I mean, Rand Paul just left. I don't like him. I'm not into him. I'd rather Rand Paul than what I have in office now or my options on the other side of the table. I'm not one of these guys who's like, oh, my God, I can't vote Democrat. I'm an independent, realistically, and I'm more into who's going to do the better job. I do like what the Republican Party is offering. I do. I just wish they were offering all these things under one actual individual. Because right now I look at it and I'm like, ooh, I like that about him, that about him, that about him, that about her, that about him, that about him. You know, we just don't have that one.
You know what? Presidential elections are like trying on clothes. This pair of pants fit just right a little bit. This one zipper doesn't work quite right. This one's a little bit too long. They're like trying on a pair of pants. It's trying to find the one that fits the best. And unfortunately, you're not going to get perfection, but you'll get closer to it if you just had the average, ordinary guy off the street says, hey, you know what? I'm tired of the bullshit. I'm going to run. Hell with it. Yeah, I might not be a rich man. I don't have millions of dollars dripping off my ass, and I don't have corporate sponsorship like I do in the 500 to sponsor my car. I think I'll just run, and hopefully, you know, America looks at me and says, hey, I saw you on the, are you really running for, what is your stance on this? Well, I believe that these people are full of shit, and this is what I intend to do, and give them a real honest layout.
Well, you know, and again, with that point of view, and that's the one thing I like with Trump, well, I like actually a lot of things with Trump, let's be honest, but one of the biggest issues with Trump, on a positive note, and everyone should feel this way. As a matter of fact, you can hate Trump, but if you don't feel this way about him, I'm at a loss of words. Trump funding his own campaign is real, and the way he openly speaks and calls things the way he sees them.
Oh, yeah,
really
he calls a spade a spade.
Right, and he really does open up the field, the window of opportunity, third-party system. Because as of now, as you know, your key word, Joe Schmo isn't going to run. You know, even at a local level, you're Democrat or Republican. You know if you're anything else, and I've seen it. I've met people who wanted to run even here in my town locally who were independents, and ultimately when the election came weren't even on the ballot because they couldn't get, you know, the 2,000 required votes in the primary leading up to it, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, the reality is because, and that's because both the Democrat and the Republican will beat you out of it, and then they'll go for each other.
But,
and that's,
you know,
the
you have to remember, yeah, they may beat you out of it, but it's your constituents, the people that are supposed to stand behind you. Our society has gotten so used to just electing either a Democrat or a Republican and listen to all this rhetoric and bullshit that they hand out because they have no means of fulfilling their obligations and promises. But they're so used to it that they just go along with it. They go with the flow. They don't know how
to
think.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if
you're
they
absolutely
thought,
right, brother.
If they thought for themselves, you could have somebody like yourself, myself, Amanda, or somebody like that that just off the street says, you know what, I'm tired of the bullshit, maybe I can make a difference. You'd have a better chance.
I don't know about Amanda. She's got that whole thing about, she's got a covered wagon in the driveway, so they may not vote for her. But,
well, I do know
one
thing about that young lady, like a bulldog, when she stinks her teeth in there, she's not letting go.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know what, I've said it before, and I used to always joke, and I even said it once on one of our other episodes. I'd love to run. I'd love to run for an office locally. We just had a woman who got beat out. She actually gave up her position as head of our town to run for the district attorney spot. And she got not only beat out of the district attorney spot, and the person she hand selected because they'd kiss her ass to take her spot, they got beat too. Completely showing that it didn't matter who endorsed. Meanwhile, she had endorsements from, you know, Rudolph Giuliani, commercials all over the air, support her, support him, and the town finally went, no, you're done. The funny thing too, though, is she's not a lawyer. She doesn't have a law degree, and she was running for the district attorney spot.
Yeah, that kind of hurts you.
Yeah, you would think so. But, of course, all the dirt about her came out, too. There was a lot of dirt, you know, bypassing county regulations and far as giving jobs out to nephews and uncles' companies, you know, for bids without opening it up to the public and shit. But whatever. You know, politics, career politicians, which is what she was, they're all dirty, which is why everyone needs term limits. But someone like me, and I butt heads with this woman, you know, somewhat, you know, publicly on social media and stuff, butt heads with her and put her in a place, but and in her office once. You know, the someone like me would never get in because you've heard me speak. I'm a potty mouth. I'm a Joe Schmo, and I'll tell you what it's like, and I'll tell you how I feel, and when it's all said and done, I'll tell you to go fuck yourself.
Everybody is afraid of brutal honesty. People don't want your brutal honesty. They want everything sugar-coated because you're going to offend this person. You know what? Grow the fuck up. Get a pair and, you know, adjust to what real life is about. I mean, somebody's telling you the fucking truth. Open your eyes. It doesn't matter how they tell it to you. they're telling you the honest to God truth. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather have a candidate come up to me and say, I'm tired of this fucking shit. And just in that manner, I'd have more respect for that man or woman, a person who wants to sugarcoat everything and double talk me and just say, not answer my question. And nice.
Yeah. No, listen. That's what I think this guy's going to do. He's going to make it popular to be that guy who's outside the box, says it like it is, does what needs to be done, doesn't give a fuck about anyone else or anything else. He's got a job to do, and he's going to do it.
That's why Congress and the Senate, they're very afraid of Trump. They're very afraid of him because he does speak his mind. He doesn't have a problem with going into a congressional hearing and say, you know what, you're full of shit. Get the fuck out.
Absolutely. And the other thing I think that really gets under their skin and gets them nervous is this. He, you know, they're very quick to point out he has no political career, he has no nothing, he's this, he's that. You're right. He admits it too. He's right. But he has one set of skills that are awesome. His logistics. He can get anything done. He knows how to get it done. And he knows how to form the team to get it done. No president does it on their own.
He's making the statement he has no, you know, political experience. Actually, in essence, when you think about it, he does. And he has more so than a lot of these politicians. He plays politics every day he does business. He didn't get where he's at knowing how to play the political game. Because it's all politics. Trust me. A man doesn't become that wealthy without knowing how to play the game.
Oh, and that's for sure. And he's admitted it. And he's told you, I've donated money to both sides. I've donated money to every. You know, he said it at one of the first interviews they had. One of the, you know, the first thing he said, one of the first debates is, I've donated money to each and every one of these people. Not hiding it. I've donated money to each and every one of these people on the stage today. So,
I remember one interview he did. I think it was with. This was a few years back, but it was with Barbara Walters. And he walked right out of Trump Plaza, walked right out onto the street, and there was a panhandler, across the road. And he says, I will be totally honest with you. He says, you see that man across the street struggling just to get through his day. He's hoping that he can just stay warm or maybe get a hot meal. Says, you believe it or not, that man is actually richer than I am. He actually has more currency on him. Regardless if it's a quarter, 50 cents, a dollar, he has more currency on him. He says, I'm rich on paper. He says, but that man actually has physical money in his possession. He's richer than me.
And he's right. And again, but he learns that. It's just like the bankruptcy. Everyone's like, how is he going to be a good president? He's filed bankruptcy before, his company. Yeah. It's called part of the game. What you got to do. You know, and it's got nothing to do about him, but he files bankruptcy to protect his company. Granted, you know, 2,000 people are going to lose their job because he files bankruptcy. But his filing bankruptcy on that one company is ultimately keeping the employment of 5,000 people going. Because if he doesn't file it, he's going to have to close down more than one spot. He's going to have to lay off people in other places as well to make up for the differences and keep it afloat. So what is it that you do?
Well, he looked at it this way. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, and that's the way he does business.
Yeah, well, you can't say that in our society, and that's what I love about him. You can't say that in our society because, you know, Lord knows, oh, my God, you don't care? You know, he's the first. What I like about him is that, and that's the problem. Our people are used to hearing that from these fucking lame excuse politicians. And we need a man like him who's going to get him to realize the way it used to be and say, no, 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 fuck you. I don't care. And I am going to let a million people sink because, you know, 100 million people need to float. And it just is what it is. And that's the whole issue, even with the bank bailout. Reality is I understand you had to bail them out, but or even with the raising our debt ceiling. Why are we raising our debt ceiling? Why don't we just own up to our responsibility, say we can't pay it, let the tremors hit, weather that storm, and deal with it like other countries have had. Other countries have had to do it.
Do you realize our government, you know, if you compare ours to other nations, you know, and other countries, our government is so top-heavy that, I mean, every senator has 12 pages and how many secretaries? Their secretaries have secretaries. There are so many salaries that are unnecessary that don't need to be there. If you started shaving off thing and brought it down to the bare minimum to run this country, you don't need 14,000 people to run this country. You don't.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely 150% right. There's no other way to say it. You know, it is what it is. You're 100% right. You know, we've they cut our military, but yet they increase our post office. You know, I love the post office. I get mail almost every day. The reality is they're inadequate. The reality is a lot of shit goes through the email. So maybe what you need to do is design a new system where you have less post offices. You have less hours. You know, I'll be honest with you. As far as we have in OB, I don't know if you guys have it in Oklahoma or I don't know if it's anywhere. And the reason why I say that is, like when my father lives in New York, he's actually still lives in the city itself. They don't have it. But out where I am, just outside of the city, in one of the biggest suburbs outside the city in Nassau, a lot of our post office facilities are automated. So I can buy stamps, mail packages, mail letters, you know, whatever. I can do that all through a very large ATM machine with a built-in scale. Do you guys have that?
We're still old school here.
Okay. So now our post office is as well. It has the counters. You can go up to the counters, and they always have, like, two people working. But the reality is, I think you know they got about eight people always or more working in the back. But the reality is, you know, an investment in these ATMs and even a little bit more of an investment so you can do more with it would be a lot easier, you know, than anything else. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, automation is the way of the future. Let's face it. That's the way things are going to end up being. Yeah, is our workforce going to be depleted by it? Yes, absolutely. It's going to hurt it greatly. There's going to be a lot more unemployment. People are going to start to have to learn to stand up and work for themselves. It's getting back to kind of a mix between fully automated society, but yet you're still going to be, you're going to go back into the 1800s where it was every man for himself. You sold your wares to sustain yourself. You're going to end up having to sell your own too.
Absolutely. I agree. And you know what? It's almost at the point we're doing things to prevent it. But the reality is, you know, the post office was great. And the post office was the only government agency that used to fully fund itself. Up until about, I want to say about, I think it was 10 or 12 years ago, I'd have to do the research, where they were unable to do it because of pensions. The pension costs got too high and drained their funds. And now they've had to start going into savings and ultimately going to Congress now to bail them out.
Right.
You know, why are we getting mail as often as we are? I'm okay with getting mail three times a week, to be honest with you. It makes my life easier. Because every day I got to go through the mail, sort the mail. I got so many days that it's just junk mail, you know. I'm fully behind the idea of public mailers being banned. Don't even send it through the post office. Do it through email. I think the federal government should step in and consider it a form of harassment, public mailers, and get rid of them, you know. But this is where we are, you know, and we're paying for this, and it doesn't need to be there. We don't need to do it. You don't need people working the counters if you can automate the whole thing. Guess what? You can. It's proven.
Oh, that's,
to see the money.
That's just like physical currency. Eventually, physical currency is going to be phased out. Let's face it. It's coming. With more businesses taking plastic, where everything just, you know, your wealth is on a card, not in how much currency you actually carry in your pocket anymore or how much you have in a bank account. It's all going to be kept on a card. It's all going to be on paper. We're going to get rid of currency eventually. It's going to happen. Well, I mean, just
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, now, I don't understand much about it, but I saw something the other day about Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is a push to become recognized as legal tender.
It already is.
Well, it's really not, though. Because
it's
not federally
recognized by They did a poll survey on this Bitcoin stuff. When I first got, I was delving into it to find out exactly what the hell it was. Because when it first came out, I was like, what the fuck is a Bitcoin?
Oh, I still don't know what it is completely.
But I started to get a little understanding of it. Is it recognized as a legal tender? No, not by the federal government. But a lot of businesses are doing business that way now. Actually doing it.
Absolutely. And here's the best part, realistically. Once it's recognized by the federal government, which is what they're pushing for, once it's recognized by the federal government, that's going to be the birth of what you were just talking about. You've now legally recognized, you know, Bitcoin as tender, then they can get rid of,
Well, you know, that's going to be influential in making the government see that way. It will be if it's recognized by the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
They control
Absolutely. A
lot of what this, I mean, I want to say 80% of the nation's financings, or better. I could be wrong on that number, but I think I'm not. But they control quite a bit. I mean, when you have corporate America out there that has so much power, you know, to influence, and with the selling and sharing of stocks, this, that, and the other. I mean, come on, you're talking a very powerful individual body as a managing body.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And again, it is only a matter of time. One way or the other, no matter how you look at this, like you said, it's a matter of time. I can see it getting to, and you know, look at it already. You mentioned a credit. You're on a credit card. You're nothing but a credit card. But you have technology now where Google, with your smartphones, Google and Apple are doing the pay by your phone thing. So you don't even need to carry a credit card anymore.
Right. Yeah. All you got to do is put your phone next to a reader and it reads it right there. Boom. Done.
Exactly. Now here's another thing though. Here's another thing I saw on Facebook, an article. So it was on the internet, but it is true. In Europe, I don't remember what country it was, but in Europe, there is a company, a corporation, who is chipping their employees, putting chips in their employees for free. They're testing it out to work on the technology. And based on the programming on their chip, you know, that's put in their hand, they get access to certain things, certain Xeroxes.
I saw that.
Right. And they can also, in the corporate cafe and whatnot, charge things with the swipe of their hand, and they don't need currency. And then it's just taken out of the paycheck the following week as money owed. So it is only a matter of time, I think, until, you know, the systems combine in a way in which, you know, this is what it's going to be, plain and simple.
Looking at that particular piece of technology, would I want somebody putting some piece of fucking programmable chip inside my body? Absolutely not. First off, I don't need Big Brother looking at me everywhere I go, what I do, who I talk to. Who's to say they don't advance the technology to where they figure, oh, your life on the planet is done. They flip a switch and you're done.
Well, listen, I don't know if the technology could do that on that small of a thing. I mean, could it not? Who knows? I don't think it'll happen in our time. Okay? I do not see that. I look at my kids. I look at my youngest son, 8 years old. Could it happen in his time as he gets later on in life? Absolutely.
Very possible.
You know, and I think the reality is, you know, like you said, you're afraid, you don't want, you're concerned, whatever. That's fine, and it's understandable. But that was the same way people felt when cars first came out. That was the same way people felt when Easy Pass first came out. That's the same way people felt when credit cards first came out, until they realized there's a benefit to it. And society's going to do it whether or not you want to do it. And you know, it's similar to Easy Pass, because I brought it up. I say every time I go somewhere, I said it on my way, to the AC meet and greet. I say it on my way driving down to Florida, anywhere we go. I why is there always traffic coming up to the bridges, a lot of these bridges? And it's assholes who can't merge trying to get over to the cash lane because they don't have an easy pass. It's never the easy
right.
pass. It's just It's just them trying to merge over that causes us to slow down. But the easy pass, you go straight through. It's going to happen. And I'm surprised there are still people who don't have easy pass. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and you're not going to have a choice. Because it's just going to be, you're going to, at one point, it's going to be like, no, we don't take cash. No, we don't have a credit card.
You know, that I have with a lot of this technology, you know, I'll use my mother as an example, okay? You know, the woman's in her 70s. She's not technology savvy. In fact, she's fearful of technology, okay? And even though I've tried to take the time, and my oldest son has tried to take the time, and my brothers and sisters, she just can't grasp it. And they get swallowed up in all this. And ultimately, you know, things get behind because they didn't know that they had to pay it online only. They're used to going to the pub, paying their bill, you know, sending it in the mail, and they know they've got a canceled check coming back to them for payment. Okay, well, if you're going to take that ability away from them, you better start teaching them, because why should somebody who worked so hard all their life lose their homes, any piece of property they have, because you made technology so far advanced that they can't keep up with it.
Well, you know what, and that's why I'm saying I don't think you have a choice and it's going to happen. Because as those people dwindle down, you know, and even us, there'll be certain things with us that we don't want to take the jump. You know, I mean, me, I'm game for almost anything. I mean, they tell me, hey, we got a car that drives by itself. You can just go to sleep in it and you'll end up where you got to be. I'm all fucking for it. Sign me up for the technology. But there are other people who won't. But the reality is the newer kids coming into it are born into it, and they excel at it. You know, I see people now who are walking around with their three-year-old kids who are masters, they're 3 years old, of the iPod.
Oh,
you know,
I'm a good example of that one. My middle boy works his... He's severely autistic. But his mental capacity, the way he's gauged at, he's 8 years old, but he thinks like on the level of a three-year-old. But I can give him his iPad. He can navigate and make that thing do things that I can't even get it to do.
Yeah.
Don't tell me these kids aren't capable of doing things. Yeah, they are very savvy, and they adapt and improvise very easily.
Absolutely they do. And that's the whole thing. You know, again, once you weed out and you get rid of everybody who is holding on to whatever it is, it's gone. It's just going to be gone. And all you're going to have is these people, the newer generation who embrace it. Listen, it's no different than what we're seeing now in the political climate. You know, when you yourself, you know, think back when we'll use, I was going to say we'll use drinking age. We can't, because it was different then than it is now. But let's just say it's a random age of 18, right? Selective service, you got to sign up. So you turn 18. When you turned 18, you had to sign up for selective service and all that. At that age, you would have never thought of hearing how popular the idea of socialism is in America.
Right.
Everybody. True-blooded, you know, proud American, you know, into big industry and you know, whatever. You look at it now at 18, and these kids, they don't want to sign up for the vote, for the draft. You know, they don't like American superiority. They think it's wrong. They don't like American greatness, that we should be more humbled, you know, and weak. And you, what the fuck is going on? But the problem is the older generations are getting themselves older and uninvolved, or older and disappearing and passing. You know, our
right.
great what's left of the greatest generation of Americans ever, you know, and there is nothing there. And you know, the big hippie movement of the 60s that really never got to take, they didn't die. They just retreated and regrouped, and
exactly.
They started cultivating younger generations to the point that now the younger generations outnumber everyone else, and it's a rising voice. And that is the true turn, you know, that's truly what creates dramatic political change. You know, I know me and my very good friends, we have kids, and, you know, again, we go with the values we brought up, whatever, may to some degree be the odd kid in the class because, you know, they disagree with, you know, what the other kids' parents, you know, tell them because, listen, at 8 and 10 years old, they do what their parents are telling them, you know. But the reality is they're severely outnumbered because society has taken this change. Hopefully enough people start reverting back and it, you know, whatever, but it's in bad shape. We're in bad shape, and unfortunately our country, our society, technology, politics, it's all going to advance whether we want it to or not.
Well, and the thing is, you know, if people don't start believing in the good old-fashioned USA and start giving, you know, the strength back to this country the way it needs to be, I mean, let's face it, technology-wise, yeah, are we a very technological nation? Absolutely. But are we that advanced in technology that we don't subcontract the making of our technology out? We absolutely do. We rely on the Chinese and the Japanese for their technology advancements because they are so far ahead of us, it's unbelievable. I mean, person couldn't even wrap their head around half the shit that they do and what they can build and design. And we're nowhere close to touching them. So who's the real superpower here right now? Think about it.
My son in first grade had a classmate who was from China. The family came here from China. They were from China. And he was friends with the kid, and the kid spoke decent English in first grade. And this kid, at completion of first grade, didn't go to second grade, went to third grade. And then upon completion of third grade, when my son was in second grade, was put into fifth grade. So he's now 2 grades ahead of my son. You know, we know the family, we speak to them. They left China, actually, because of their son. In China, the kids go to school year-round.
Right.
There is no playtime. There's nothing. There is nothing. You know, my son had a birthday party at one of these blow-up air things. You know, they set up the obstacle courses, the slides and stuff, the bouncing houses and all that. The kid was, like, floored by it. He had never seen anything like this. And, you know, the mother and father, very well spoken, one's a teacher, one's a scientist, had said, you know, in China, you don't do this. We don't have these locations. Kids in school, you'll see something like that.
Once you're old enough to work, you're put to work.
Yeah, you are. But if you're smart enough, or if you're well enough off, or bright enough, or whatever the case may be, that you can work a job like private sector type of job, you know, which is weird. He goes, that's why people here, they don't understand. They go, why are all these kiddie type things so popular with people over here in China, adults? And you realize, because we don't have a childhood as kids. And the only ones who can now afford it are the ones who did well enough in school and got these good jobs so they can go to these Chinese towns and they'll run around the bouncy castles, you know, at 42 years old. Because
exactly.
As a kid, they don't get it. Their free time is gym, and then they have to take some type, believe it or not, even the kid when he was in kindergarten, you have to take some type of fighting. They take boxing, karate, judo, whatever, something that might, you know, working with swords or working, you know, whatever, marksmanship. They're very big on math and science, and free time over the weekend is like get together and, you know, and tutor. They do nothing, these kids.
Well,
that's why they
do what they're actually doing when you think about it. They're building the perfect soldier. Is what they're doing. They're building the perfect soldier. Not only will he be technology savvy and be able to adapt and improvise in that realm, he'll also be able to fight and protect in any way, shape, and form.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everything is drilled. There's no such thing as play. Play comes when you're done with school. Not for the day. Their idea is get through your high school, your college, your finishing schools, whatever it may be, your trade schools. Get a job, start working, save up your money, now you can start playtime. I think it's too much of an extreme, but I definitely do think that maybe we should have more of an emphasis here than we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's more emphasis on education for our kids, and maybe extending the school year slightly. But, you know, they get so many days off during the school year, it kind of compensates for a lot of stuff here. So, I mean, these kids get off more time than I ever did as a kid. They've got these goofy Fridays. This teacher has this in service. I mean, when teachers had in service time, it was at the end of the day. I was still in school. I was still in class.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. But listen, I do think we're going to have to cut this because we're way over into our extra time. So I want to thank you, Dave, for joining us and chiming in. And I hope we'll get to hear you tomorrow on Friday. And hopefully we'll have Ken call in as well. I know Amanda will be here. And hopefully we'll have a good chat and maybe even some good news on the development of your Facebook page or in regards to this Smashburger incident. And I'll speak to you then. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, you have a good day then.
You too, Dave. Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.